Welcome to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast, where we focus on how authors found success, looking at strategies that have taken them to the top of the bestseller charts, as well as what they've learned from their mistakes. Because being an indie author is more than knowing the latest marketing trend. It's about being innovative and creative and learning from your mistakes.
Welcome to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast. I'm Sarah Rosette.
And I'm Jamie Albright. And this week on the show, we have
Kat Adams.
Yes, it was so good, y'all. I mean, it's a little bit different than what we normally do, but it was super good. I think it's super inspirational. I think you guys are going to really enjoy it.
Yeah, Kat started out writing rom-com, and now she's transitioned to writing more nonfiction. She started out wanting to be a full-time author, and now she's a part-time author. She's a domestic abuse survivor, and she's kind of woven that into her career in like helping people through difficult situations like that. And it was great to talk to her.
Yeah, really was. I love how she's put now, she's transitioned really from writing rom-coms to women's empowerment. And I love that. I love that, just that phrase. And her story is very empowering. So I think you guys are going to love it. So should we talk about Book Funnel again?
We should. Book Funnel is our sponsor for November. And I was thinking this week we should talk about bulk delivery because it saved my life with the Kickstarters.
Really? Tell us about it.
It's a special feature that they developed just because people needed it. And that's kind of the beauty of working with people who are closely connected to the author community. So when you run a Kickstarter and you need to deliver your ebooks, you really don't want to send individual emails to 50, 100, 200, 250 people or whatever. So now there is a way in BookFunnel, you go in, you type in, you know, I want to send this book to these people, and you can upload your whole list of people at once. It sends it out and then it goes into their BookFunnel library and it saves everything there so that people can find it later. Cause you know how, like, if you email somebody a link and they don't see the email, you know, then, you know, they have to track you down and
just
makes it a lot easier. So they have a lot of features like that. That's just the one I've used most recently.
I agree. I think that, I mean, you can even use that like for your ARCs if you wanted to, correct? Super, super great.
Or if you have a giveaway and you want to give away 20 books or 15 books or whatever, you, it makes it super simple.
And I mean, that is the beauty of BookFunnel. I mean, they're always listening to authors. They're always innovating. I don't think there's anything I've ever heard Damon say, oh, we can't do that. I mean, they may have to wait on that.
That's on the list.
They may end up at that place, but I don't think they have ever just said, oh, we can't do that. Like, they're going to try, because if enough authors want it, need it, they just have their pulse on the, I mean, their finger on the pulse of the author community. Wow, that was
convoluted. But you pulled it off.
Thank you. Anyway, so we love them.
If you're interested in checking out BookFunnel, you can go to our link. It's bookfunnel.com/WIKT-podcast, and that gets you $50 off the yearly fee for new accounts, excluding the first-time author plan. So definitely check that out if you haven't experienced BookFunnel.
All right. What's been going on with you?
Well, I have been getting back into researching and planning, plotting my next book and, you know, finishing up a couple of little things with the Kickstarter, but that's pretty much wrapped up except for a few little things that I'm waiting to come in. So, so that's going good. It feels good to be back doing fiction writing. I love, it's like, I like doing the things, like I like having some time to do the Kickstarter and then I switch it up and do something else. And so, really enjoying that. And
that's great.
I mean,
the Kickstarter that never ends.
Still going on, but I'm still getting there. I'm getting there. I approved the last letter this week. So, you know, I had that, eight letters going out to people over 8 weeks ish, like, depending on, you know, when the mail delivers everything. So the last one I approved today or yesterday. So that's like that one checked off.
That's
That's another one.
Awesome. Awesome. Not much going on with me. I still do not have my Facebook account. So that's that's why. Yeah. I thought I was too. Twice now. I thought I was getting it back and I still don't have it. Oh, y'all, it's super frustrating. And now I have to decide how long do I wait? Because I've heard it's some people it's taken up to 3 months and they got it back. Or do I just start a new one? I don't know. I don't know what to do. Which means, I mean, it's just not good. I can't run ads. I mean, I'm running ads on another account, but they're just, I mean, that account doesn't have any history and it's, you know, or that page doesn't have any history. And so it's tough. Last Friday was really hard for me. I'm just going to be real honest with you. I the Facebook thing, I'm literally making pennies on the dollar. I will tell y'all this just in full transparency, you know, because let's just say, I don't know, don't let this happen to you, but what I wish I'd known about publishing, because we're only running ads on one book right now on my Homecoming King series, my bride's books. Last Tuesday, I made 29 cents on that whole series. That is a series that has made me multiple six figures over the years, and 29 cents. So your girl was pretty low, pretty discouraged. So I decided, you know what? There was this conference here, it was a small conference, the League of Romance Authors here in town. And I thought, you know, it was Friday night and Saturday. I'd signed up, but I was really thinking I'd only go Saturday. But I thought, you know, I need to be around some people. I need to be around some authors. So I get ready. I drive across Houston in traffic, get there. It's the wrong night. I was a week early.
I was going to say, I think this story is not going to end happily. No,
didn't end happily at all. It was the wrong night. I was a week early. At that point, I pretty much thought, am I even supposed to be doing this? And it kind of goes to something that Kat was saying in her interview, you know, it's just not, wish I'd known that my career might look real different. Just in a few years' time. So I don't know, y'all. I mean, I'm still hanging in there. I'm still plugging away, trying to do the stuff I did after the 29 cent day. I did get back on TikTok and start reposting some videos. And actually my income on the bride's books has gone up. Thank God. It couldn't really go much lower. But that's all TikTok because I'm not running any ads to it right now. And so.
Well,
when you're having a bad day.
A low point. Yeah.
Yes. When you're having a bad day, just know you're not alone we're going to get through it. And
we've all had those. Like, you're just transparent enough that you talk about them. I think a lot of people may have them, but we just don't talk about them. That's more me. I'm like, everything's fine.
Well, it's not fine, but it's going to be fine. And tomorrow night, I'm going to this conference. It is definitely tomorrow night. I know now that it is. So I will get to see people. So that's good.
Yeah. I've done that too. Not in writing, but I have gone to events that I thought were at a certain time and missed it by hours and or days, depending on how badly I messed up reading the thing. But before we go, I have one thing I wanted to mention. Last week I talked about KDP having pre-order dates for print books. Mm-hmm. And we had a comment from SD Huston, Huston, on the YouTube channel. And she clarified for us, corrected that it's not pre-orders. It's just you can set a date for the book to be published.
Yes.
So I want to make that clear in case anybody was looking for the pre-order section.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we can now set a date for books to be published. But if you want to do a print pre-order, you still need to go through something like Ingram Spark to get your books, your print books on pre-order.
Right. Right.
So that is the update on that.
And okay. Good to know.
If you want to support the podcast, you can do that at wishidknownforwriters.com/support. Mm-hmm. And you can find the link to BookFunnel also in the show notes.
Correct.
And should we get on with the interview with Kat?
Absolutely. It's so good, y'all.
All right. Here's Kat. Well, today we're really happy to talk with Kat Adams. Hi, Kat. How are you?
I'm great. How are y'all doing?
We're awesome. Kat with the beautiful hair. It's red and long and luscious. I wish y'all could see it. But since we don't want to get ready, you can't see Kat.
So here, let me read Kat's bio and then we'll get started. Kat Adams is the author of contemporary romantic comedies and women empowerment nonfiction titles. Mm-hmm. She has a passion for making readers laugh since she wrote her first over-the-top comic book at the age of 8. Kat satisfies her darker side by writing paranormal romance with wicked humor under the name Fritzy Cox. Her mm-hmm. books can be described as equal parts shameless and heartwarming with a heavy dose of heat. In her downtime, she loves to ramble on in her podcast, embark on outdoor adventures with her family, and lose herself in good books and music.
That's fantastic. I love that bio. It's great. Tell us how you got into writing, Kat.
Sure. Well, I guess I was always a writer because I was one of those cringy poem writing teenagers. And mm-hmm. I also wrote a lot in grade school. It was just always a passion of mine. So I went on to college and I got my degree in creative writing. And then, you know, life happened and I got married and I had my daughter. And then I got kind of trapped in a situation. It was a pretty bad marriage. And we're just going to get deep right off the bat here. I'm sure this is going to lead into many conversations. It was an abusive marriage. And so I felt like the only way I could get out of that situation was to pick up the pen again and just kind of build up a brand so I could fund myself. And I needed something like that was flexible so I could still take care of my daughter because I was a stay-at-home mom. I hadn't worked in 10 years. So mm-hmm. that's when I started to get back into writing because I was reading about like indie publishing. I was like, that's the flexibility I need to still do like school drop-off and be there for, you know, school meetings, things like that. But I also need to start earning an income so I can get out of the situation. So I took a long break, but now I'm back into writing.
Right, right. And when was that?
That was in 2019.
Okay, okay. And so I'm so curious about why indie publishing was like, how did you even know about it? Like, it's not something that a lot of people know about unless you've kind of been writing and searching around for what to do.
Yeah, no, totally. I am addicted to Reddit. And it just popped up out of the blue. The stars aligned. And I was like, oh my gosh, self-publishing. It was actually like a romance, actually an erotica, I think, self-publishing channel they had. And I started researching it. And there was people there that are like, you know, they're writing all this stuff and it's earning the money. And this was, I think a lot of it was back in the KU Gold Rush days they were talking about. So I was like, oh, I'm going to hop on that trend. Didn't quite follow their journey, but I just stumbled upon it on Reddit.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So is that when social media isn't. Yeah.
Is that when you started writing rom-com or?
Yeah, I just dived right into rom-com. I didn't want the end goal to be rom-com. My end goal has always been like some type of women empowerment stuff. I wanted to work with domestic abuse victims. I wanted to write nonfiction, but for some reason, I just blocked myself and I felt like I can't do that yet. I need to start with rom-com and use that to kind of fund whatever I want to do with victims. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went a crazy journey from point A to B, but I realized like looking back, I think I had to do the rom-com to get to where I'm at now. So, and rom-com, you know, it was always like, I liked being silly. I liked, you know, funny stuff. I was pretty shameless. So I felt like that's the category I want to get into.
Yeah. Well, and your TikToks are your Kat Adams TikToks are hilarious and funny. So yeah, and kind of shameless, and I love that. Yeah, that's where I first saw you. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Well, tell us about, like, what is your definition of success?
So my definition of success, and I don't know if I'll ever get there because I took the Becca Symes course and I'm a high achiever. So it kind of goes against that. But I heard a quote one time, and it was, I think his name is Joseph Heller, who wrote Catch 22, and Kurt Vonnegut. They were having a discussion at some big wealthy hedge fund manager's party. Mm-hmm. And Kurt said to John, he said, "Hey, do you know that this hedge fund manager made more in a day than you've made with your lifetime of the book Catch 22? Mm-hmm. And John said, "Well, I have something that he doesn't have. I have enough." And I'm like, I can reach that point where I can say, I have enough. That's success to me. And, you know, you just have to figure out, like, what is your enough? It can be a monetary value. You know, you can set, oh, I'm going to make six figures. Or for me personally, it's building a life of stability and fulfillment, because I'm very mission driven. I like to feel like I'm making the world a better place, but I also like stability, you know, with people around me, with paychecks, all that good stuff, because, you know, I can get anxious. So that's my enough, stability and fulfillment.
Yeah.
What a great answer.
We've had a lot of people tell us that this is their favorite question. And I love it too, because it's, we get so many different answers and people highlight different things. And I don't know that we've had anybody talk about like a mission in life that that's part of their goal, but I think that's so important and so true for many people that it often gets, you know, pushed to the side. Yeah. So I think it's fantastic.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. What do you wish you'd known about writing and craft when you started?
My editor would like me to answer this as the past participle tense. I cannot get the hang of the had. It's like I had done this before. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think my first novel, the draft came back. It was like 80,000 red marks. I was like, oh my gosh. Eventually she just said, "This is taking too long. I'm just going to stop right here. So, you know, you can do the rest." But yeah, definitely that. But also, I think just looking back, I needed a different mindset, because I had the mindset of, you know, like most people, putting a financial thing on it, like having a mindset, well, I just need to write to produce books so I can earn money. And that kind of killed the passion of writing for me. And I think if I just wasn't so hard on myself on like, oh, I have to do this. I have to be a full-time author. I have to make it. I have to do this, that, and the other, then I could have enjoyed it more and I wouldn't have gotten so burned out. But also just realizing that for me, it wasn't so much, I thought it was about the money, but it actually wasn't. It was more therapy for me because I was doing that while I was going through a divorce. I was healing from trauma. And like, when I look back on it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I poured myself out into that writing. And that was part of my healing process. And I wish I knew that back then. So I would have been a little bit more kinder to myself in this industry. Right. But I was more like, you know, no, I'm so business minded, and you know, that's where my mindset was stuck at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that is, that's a hard one. That's a hard one. Also, I mean, like you did, I mean, just to give yourself a little more grace, you did have extenuating circumstances. I mean, you know, you had a situation that you needed to be able to have financial, some financial security. So, you know, I get it. I get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you, this may be too personal, but did you leave him before 2020?
I did. I started the divorce process in the summer of 2019, and it was official like at the end of 2019, but I started writing at the beginning of 2019.
Okay. Well, I just want to make sure you were somewhere safe before 2020, before the pandemic started. Yeah, that just hit me, and I was like, oh my gosh. That's
Yeah. That was definitely a tough time for everybody, but you know, especially people who are trapped, you know, with someone like that.
Very stressful. Very stressful time. So Well, what about marketing? What do you wish you'd known about marketing?
I wish y'all could see your face.
Oh my gosh. I guess I missed the memo because going into indie publishing, I did not know is basically 80% of indie publishing, I feel like, getting your books out there. You have to be everywhere all at once. You have to do TikTok. You have to do Instagram, newsletters. They used to have the Facebook parties. I don't know if they still do that anymore, but all of those things were extremely overwhelming to me. And I took all the courses. I went to RAM. I did the Facebook ads courses. I did the Amazon ads courses. I did everything. And it just didn't work for me. And so I feel like, and I know that, you know, you can listen to the gurus. I even had a PR person when I first started who was like in my ear, like, oh, you know, I work with this one big top rom-com author. I won't name names, but she's bringing in six figures a month, and she's paying, I think it was like $60,000 a month on ads, and you can get there. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's just like a dream. But I learned through just working for so long and doing the indie stuff and taking the classes that it's not one size fits all for sure. Like someone who may not have a bubbly personality probably is not going to do as well on TikTok. You know, someone who's not very analytical might not do as well as in the ads. But especially as like a first-time author who's just starting out, they don't have enough money to afford to buy the help for all this stuff and to do all the courses and things like that. And I think if I knew that, like, about marketing before I started writing, it probably would have changed a lot for me. Like, I probably would have not wanted to be a full-time writer. If I knew that, I probably would have taken a little bit of a step back.
Well, like, knowing what you know now, like, if you were starting over, what would you focus on for you? Like, because I know everybody's different, but what would work for you, do you think?
Marketing wise,
Probably
TikTok. And I have a love-hate relationship with TikTok because I see success with it when I stick with it, but I just get so burned out. And, you know, I find myself wasting like hours on TikTok because I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. Most of the time I have to have, I know people recommend against that, but I have to have like my videos to the way I want them. And it just, I'm like, you know, I want to spend my time doing other things than TikTok. So it's, I go through phases. Like, I was being great on TikTok about a month ago, and now I don't think I've posted a video in like 2 or 3 weeks because just it burns me out. But I think that's where I'd focus because that's where I'm seeing the most success, and that's where I see other authors having success.
It's true. It's true. If you, I mean, like, I just, before we got on here, made a video, but I've been posting very consistently over the last 2 weeks, but I'm recycling material. However, it's done pretty well. I mean, you know, it's done okay. It's not doing great. It, like, I'm not going viral or anything, but I am moving some books. And so, you know, I mean, it's not a lot of books, but I'm not running ads to the books I'm promoting. So, anything is, you know, it's free. So, you know, except for my time. But what assumptions did you make at the beginning of your writing career? And looking back, did they turn out to be right or wrong?
Yeah. So I thought the whole build your backlist, the whole 20 books to 50K thing was kind of a guarantee. So everyone's just like, keep writing more books, keep writing more books. You're going to get there. And I like, oh my gosh, I drained myself for 3 years trying to rapid release. I was writing a book, I think once every 2 months to 2 to 3 months. And I just burned myself out. And I thought that, okay, well, things are going to fall into place when I finally have that big backlist. And that never happened. So that was a big assumption for me. And it never got to a point where I could create a full-time income on mm-hmm. that big backlist, mm-hmm. no matter like what marketing tactics or whatnot that I was using. So that right. was probably my biggest assumption that, you know, it would just work the more mm-hmm. I wrote and the more yeah. I learned about marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So obviously you pivoted, right? So how did you come to that conclusion? It was time to pivot. And what did you pivot to?
Yeah. So I owe it to Becky Syme because I took her course and I met with her and she said, you know, Kat, if you're doing everything right, you've done the courses, you've written the books, then this just is not where you're supposed to be. And I was like, and I still am into kind of the woo-woo juju stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is not where I'm supposed to be. And it's not where I wanted to be originally when I started, you know, I was mm-hmm. writing the rom-com to fund like some victim advocacy type stuff. And I just realized like, oh gosh, she's right. Then I am doing everything right. It's just not working. It's because it's just not supposed to work for me. This is not where I'm supposed to be. And she said, can you imagine if your rom-com took off and you had to keep up with that because that's not what you really want to do? And I was like, oh, that sounds horrible. I mean, I thought I wanted that, but I didn't really, like deep down, I didn't want that. So that she gave me permission that mm-hmm. I need to give myself to stop and go back to what I originally wanted to do, which was, you know, the advocacy piece, which is where my book came in. My latest release last month in October for Domestic Violence Awareness Month was You're Not Stuck. And that was, it's just, you know, trying to help women grow to learn that they're not stuck. You can get mm-hmm. out of situations, which has been like my goal all along. So mm-hmm. I owe it to Becca to have told me some hard truths to kick me in the pants so mm-hmm. I could do what I felt like I was called to do.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. That's great. And we're going to talk about your book a little bit more in a little bit, but I love that because, you know, we always feel that way. You know, why isn't this working?
Yeah. And I think we can get like down in a like we're going along and we're checking all the boxes. And then like, we forget maybe that wasn't the primary goal. That was like a stepping stone and we become so focused on it that it's hard to give it up. And
exactly.
Sometimes we need that permission, right?
Yeah. And I took it hard. I felt like in a way I did feel like a failure and I had to like accept that. But that was around the time I also went to RAM. I think it was in 2021. And I know everyone's like, everyone gets something different out of RAM. What I got was there was a lot of authors who were talking about how, you know, something, one of their books just didn't make it mm-hmm. and they had to accept mm-hmm. that. And yeah. So that was a bit of a challenge for me, but like, I realized that's just not where I was supposed to be. And there was mm-hmm. other things on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that's the biggest change you've had to make in your thinking?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't be a full-time author. It's not for me. I thought it was because I had mm-hmm. a different idea of what that looked like.
Right, right.
But it doesn't go with what I need to do in life.
Yeah.
It's that expectation versus reality. And like, you mm-hmm. think it's going to be one thing and then you get there and you're like, oh, this isn't at all what I thought. Mm-hmm. And then, mm-hmm. and it's okay at that point to shift and do something different. Right. You know, you just have to give ourselves permission. Or get Becca Syme to give us permission.
Becca's given us all a lot of permission to do things. Yeah. So let's talk about your book. It's a nonfiction book about changing yourself instead of changing your partner. Can you just explain a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So when I was stuck in that situation, I would search for any kind of clue to think, for someone to tell me on the internet. I look at articles, I look at, you know, Reddit threads, someone to tell me, oh, well, my partner changed, you know, mm-hmm. I was in this situation and my partner changed. I never found that at all. Like, I could never find anyone saying that this was a thing. the research I did do on it, I think there's a book by, I believe his name is Matt Lundy, called Why Does He Do That? It's an amazing book. It explains like inside the mind of a controlling and abusive partner. And it says in there, like, yeah, they rarely change, if ever. Like, there's very few batter and intervention programs, and it takes them a full commitment to actually go through it. And it's just, they have to change their core values. So it rarely works. And I had spent so much time in my marriage trying to fix him. Mm-hmm. And I realized, wow, that's not going to work. I have to fix me. Mm-hmm. So I had to do a whole bunch of like inner work to feel like I had the confidence and the self-worth that I didn't have to stay that way. I didn't have to be miserable, because I mean, we were together for 15 years and I had accepted it at one point as this is just my life. And then finally I just woke up and realized, nope, I don't have to live that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, not all of our listeners can thankfully relate to an abusive partner, but we can relate to things in life that we do that. We do that with a lot of things. We want the situation to change instead of changing ourselves. I mean, even in the publishing space, you see that so much. People just running on a hamster wheel, frustrated because what they used to do doesn't work anymore. I'm talking about myself now. And what we need to do is change the way we think about, you know, do the inner work on ourselves. And then the situation looks different once we have done that work. Would you agree with that? I don't know. Yeah,
absolutely. I think you can apply it to so many different situations, especially like careers. Because if you're stuck in like this job you hate, like I have learned, you don't have to be stuck in a job you hate. There's so much out there. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think a lot of people block themselves, or they just don't know, you know, that there's resources and help to help them get out of their situations.
Right.
But then again, I do think a lot of people just, they block themselves from taking that first step to realizing, oh, I can change this. I do have what it takes to change this, because that's the scariest part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, change is scary. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to ask, what would be like the first thing if somebody's stuck in a, like a toxic relationship, or even like in their career, like what would be the first thing? Is that just realizing that you don't have to keep doing it?
Absolutely. Just making that decision and that choice to, okay, I need to put a plan in place. Like, I don't have to be here. I don't have to tolerate this. I don't have to take this. And it comes down to, I think, like self-worth and confidence. So once you have that, it really is just as simple as making that decision. Hard steps later, but right. That's the first step is just saying, I'm not stuck.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think your writing helped you get to that point, or knowing you could write helped you get to that point? Because that is a self-confidence booster in and of itself. Just knowing you can write a book, or you have a resource, some resources.
Yeah. Well, I think back then I didn't really know I could do that, because I've just been like so, you know, broken spirited. And maybe this is a little bit petty of me, but I remember my ex-husband said, oh, you don't have a sense of humor. And then that's also another reason why I picked rom-com. That was like, I want to show you. So I think I lost a lot of that confidence and that skill, but just making the effort to do it again, I started getting that back.
Yeah.
I didn't have it before then, but just taking action, I started getting it back.
Yeah. So I haven't read the book, but I can only assume that you have steps in there. Like if people are really in imminent danger, or if they, you know, ways to go about this, that is the safest way possible.
Yeah, for sure. And there's so many different levels of abuse. And
there are.
So much. And I believe the most prominent is something that a lot of people don't even realize mm-hmm. is emotional or psychological abuse. Mm-hmm. They don't know that, you know, they don't know the signs, so they don't know that's happening. Mm-hmm. But yes, the book does have, you know, hotlines. I tell them I am not a doctor. I'm not a mm-hmm. therapist, mm-hmm. but you know, I do have a lot of work in this niche and actually have a full-time job now working directly in this niche. And, you know, I have provided my experiences, mm-hmm. but only a victim knows their danger level. Mm-hmm. So always, always proceed with caution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And I was going back to writing rom-com. I was going to say many a book has been born out of, oh, well, I could do this better, or I could mm-hmm, show mm-hmm. so-and-so this. Yeah. So I think that's pretty common. Yeah.
Yeah. Common. Yeah. And because our podcast is usually, you know, lighthearted and everything, I don't want anyone to think, and certainly you wouldn't think this, but I don't want any of our listeners to think that we think, oh, it's just, you know, just read this book and you'll be fine. No, that's not at all true. And we know that. We want you to know that we know that. But can you tell the story about how this job you have now came about? I think that's so amazing, given where you were and everything.
Oh, it's so wild. Yeah. So when I started coming to the end of my savings and I was spending more than I was coming in as a full-time author, I realized, oh my gosh, I've got to get my stuff together and figure this out. But I still needed that flexibility. So I learned about freelance writing and I went to Fiverr. I went to Upwork. And I just did a bunch of, you know, scrolling through different, hey, can you write me, you know, a marketing piece? Hey, can you write me a newsletter? Hey, can you, you know, write this blurb on a hotel? And while I was going through that, I had met a man who wanted me to write stories. And then that kind of led into, it was really weird. This guy was like a self-made millionaire overnight. He called himself the Wizard. He opened
The Wizard. Yeah.
he opened so many doors for me though, that led Amazing. Me down this whole like woo woo path. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try his little law of attraction stuff. I'm going to try mm-hmm. it. I don't have anything to lose. And so I started following this guy and this way out there, crazy stuff that just was not me. And oh my gosh, it worked because I logged on to Upwork and I saw a listing that was craft stories for domestic violence victims. And I was like, oh, that's what I've always wanted to do. So I applied, I got it. And now like we've grown exponentially. I've been working there for 2 years and now I had the whole writing department. It's about a 50-person department and they all craft these stories for abuse and trafficking victims. They're pretty amazing.
That's amazing. I mean, that's just phenomenal. Yeah. I've got chills. I love this.
Yeah, but I did reach that end goal eventually mm-hmm. of, you know, doing advocacy work. So, mm-hmm.
And you're still writing part-time, right, too?
Yeah, I do. I'm working on the second piece to You're Not Stuck.
No, okay. That's great. That's great. Tell us about the podcast, because now you have a podcast on top of your full-time job and writing and everything.
It's that high achiever thing. Yes. I do. So I launched You're Not Stuck podcast, I think in March. I think I'm about 35 episodes in. It releases every Monday. Weekly. I've not missed an episode yet, knock on wood, but it's about, I had a whole series, earlier that did really, really well in that podcast. And it was like talking about those different kinds of abuses, emotional, mm-hmm. how to recognize this is emotional, how to recognize this is psychological, mm-hmm. You know, even religious, abuse. I didn't even know half the stuff about that. And I have a whole podcast on that. So there's a lot of, teaching people what these different types of abuses are and then mm-hmm. recognizing all the red flags. Mm-hmm. But then I also do a lot of stuff like that's more for like mental health. I call it getting rid of the dark doo-doo energy. Mm-hmm. Vampires. There may be some woo-woo stuff in there too. And it's, I have also started like Law of Attraction, which is, mm-hmm. you know, basically changing your mindset, taking mm-hmm. action, things like that. But it's all focused around helping people realize that they can get out of all kinds of challenging situations. Mm-hmm. And it starts within.
Yeah. Ourselves.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it's a great resource, and we will link to that in the show notes along with your book. So, before we kind of wrap up, is there anything else that you want to talk about or share about your story, or anything you want to say to maybe somebody who feels very, very stuck?
Yeah. Yeah. If I can do it with all my drama and all my messages, you can do it. And I know that it's hard if you've never been in this situation to understand it. There was so many things coming into place when I was writing the book. One is, and I believe it's still on Netflix, it's called Made. I think it's a series, and it's mm-hmm. about a woman who's in this, you know, domestic abuse relationship. And it is like the best depiction I could ever describe of something true, because they have her on, she's like laying on the couch, but then it shows her in her mind, she's like laying at the bottom of a pit. And I laid just like crying on my closet floor for years. And it is exactly like that. Like, you are just so beaten down and broken mm-hmm. and trapped. And it takes so much just to get back up. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I'm trying to devote all my work to, is just that first step. Like, you mm-hmm. truly can get back up. And there's so many resources out there to help. There's, you know, the domestic violence hotline. There's a lot of local resources. I've been mm-hmm. volunteering with a local place over here. They have shelters. And I think a lot of women also, and men, anyone with a domestic violence partner, they also feel a lot of shame around mm-hmm. that. Because mm-hmm. I know I did. I had mm-hmm. to put on this whole illusion of someone that I was not. Mm-hmm. And that is also a hard part to get by. Especially, you know, if people on the outside think, oh, you're just in this happy family, you're a happy homemaker. Mm-hmm. But it's okay, because mm-hmm. the stats here in the United States is 1 in 3 women have experienced this. So mm-hmm. we all either know someone, but we don't mm-hmm. know they're in that situation, mm-hmm. or we have been. And it's okay to face up to, you know, the shame surrounding it, because there shouldn't be any shame. The victim mm-hmm. has not done anything wrong.
Right.
And that's kind of the point of working out those inner things, so you can take action and change the situation mm-hmm. and get off the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's so powerful. Thank you for sharing that. Tell us what you think the best thing you've done to set yourself up for success.
Being shamelessly authentic.
Yeah.
Is that heavy on the shameless? I think that makes me relatable, and it has helped people open up to me, especially because mm-hmm. I try to interject, you know, like comedy and some stuff, mm-hmm. try to be lighthearted, even when talking about dark subjects. Mm-hmm. But I truly feel like that has helped people come out and open to me. Like, once mm-hmm. I started talking about this, mm-hmm. I had people very close to me, even in the publishing industry, mm-hmm. open up, and they were like, I'm in the same situation. Oh, I'm having a divorce. And that's what I want, because mm-hmm. I feel like I can help those people. So right. I think it's helped me a lot, is just being authentic.
That's great.
Well, fantastic. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad we got to talk to you today and hear about your writing journey. And just though it's like a winding path, that it's ended up somewhere where you never thought you'd be, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a journey. I've had some, you know, bumps in the road, but keeping at it. And, you know, like Becca said, if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. But that doesn't mm-hmm. mean you don't have great things on the horizon.
Right.
Well, we will have links to all your stuff in the show notes, but tell people where they can find out about you and your books and your podcast.
Sure. You can go to katadams.com, and that's Adams with a double D's. And you can find me on TikTok at Author Kat Adams, on Instagram, Author Kat Adams. I do publish wide, so my books are pretty much everywhere. And mm-hmm. you can find links to my podcast from the Kat Adams website, as well as all my books. And even the paranormal romance that I write under Fritzy Cox is on there as well.
Fritzy, I love that name.
He's a wild one. He's even more shameless.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. We'll have all those links in the show notes. And you can find those at wishidknownforwriters.com. If you want to support the podcast, go to that same link /support. Mm-hmm. And don't forget about Book Funnel, our sponsor this time. And thanks to Alexa Larberg for editing and producing the podcast, and Adriel Wiggins for doing the admin. We'll see everybody next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast. We hope this episode inspired you, empowered you, and made you laugh a little bit too. If you loved it, tell your friends about it. And if you feel so inclined, leave us a review. We look forward to being with you again next week.